This is Building Bridges, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
Later on, Occupy Wall Street West Coast marches to shut down the ports.
But first, the Occupy movement in West Coast port cities called for shutdowns of their ports. In solidarity, Occupy Wall Street, New York, targeted Wall Street giant, the owner of half of one of the world's largest transportation and shipping outfits, Goldman Sachs, who the movement now refers to as a giant vampire squid wrapped around the face of humanity, relentlessly jamming its blood funnel into anything that smells like money. After that description appeared in Matt Taibbi's article on Goldman Sachs in Rolling Stone.
The ports have been targeted because of the firing of port workers organizing at SSA terminals in L.A., owned by Goldman Sachs, and the attempt to rupture ILWU, that's International Longshore Workers Union, jurisdiction in Longview, Washington, by EGT, an exporter whose banker owners reported a $2.5 billion profit last year while impoverishing workers in Argentina and Brazil. These economic blockades were as well responses to the nationally coordinated attacks on the Occupy movement.
Let's begin with the Occupy movement protesters, many dressed as giant squids, mimicking and mocking their target, Goldman Sachs. Then we'll connect with OWS West Coast.
Giant vampire squid sucking the blood out of humanity. The vampire squid metaphor that's sort of a theme for this march, you know, it's got tentacles everywhere. It's, as we see today, you know, they own one of the ports that's trying to bust the union or prevent a union from forming on the West Coast, which was the target for the action when it was called on the West Coast. And so that's why we picked the target here. But, you know, they're also directly tied into the financial crisis as one of the, you know, investment banks and involved in all kinds of securities that help crash the economy. That's the way that capitalism works, is that the people who are doing the investing are tied together with basically everything that's going wrong.
And what's the connect to what's happening today on the West Coast?
Well, this is a solidarity action with the port shutdown on the West Coast. It's connected both by, you know, we're targeting Goldman Sachs, which owns one of the ports there, and also by the fact that Goldman Sachs is, you know, we're all struggling against the same system, the 1% who, you know, control the economy and run into their own interests and are screwing over the rest of us.
And you are?
My name's David.
Come outside!
Oh no! It's the Goldman Sachs vampire squid! But the squid only speaks in squid! How will we know what the squid can say? Fortunately, we have a translator. What does the squid want?
Let's see. To suck the life and
money. Press conference.
Oh, a press conference!
The squid wants a press conference!
Reporters with questions?
We don't have reporters with questions!
Mr. Sachs, 2011!
Please describe the fiscal year!
Were you successful?
The translator is translating for the squid.
Oh,
What Mr. Sachs is saying is that we provide a wide range of financial services to a substantial and diversified client base, includes corporations, financial institutions, and governments, and high net worth individuals. We're first in mergers and acquisitions, and let's not forget our firm's global $164 billion in liquid cash holdings. So despite these times of economic hardship, we continue to be the vanguard for reliability. We do, in fact, agree that we at Goldman are doing God's work. And we would like to say that any American citizen can join in the crusade to save the economy by readily accepting their sacrifice necessitated by this tragic economy. Nonetheless, they should drop their entitled attitude and recognize that there is no money for programs such as Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and that such programs cripple our businesses and our subsidiaries, such as the SSA.
Mr. Sachs,
even amidst this long economic slump, in 2009 you paid
your senior employees $18 billion.
$18 billion in bonuses.
Even after massive public outcry, you still paid $10 billion
in 2011.
And you, the chief executive squid, paid yourself $67.9 million.
Even as the taxpayers,
we're being forced to bail you out
for your own slimy misdeeds.
Where is the shared sacrifice you speak of?
How do you justify handing out these massive
bonuses
for criminal behavior?
Mr. Sachs' outrage says lies and slander, and will not tolerate such belligerent questions. Mr. Sachs has nothing to say to you in his defense.
Calamari! Calamari!
We have to go. No time.
Well, we're here with another one of the protesters, and why target Goldman Sachs?
Goldman Sachs is a target because they're the largest of the investment banks. I think they received probably the largest amount of bailout money. Their bonuses are just like obscene, the amount of bonuses they paid to their executives with taxpayer bailout money over the past couple of years. So I think they're just the poster child of everything that's wrong with our banking system and our economic system and our political system.
And what was their role in the economic crisis itself?
They were instrumental, along with other investment banks, in these credit default swaps and derivatives where they bundled up, you know, mortgages and then knew that these mortgages were bad assets and then like went out and sold them and then bet against them. It's a complicated schemes they were up to, but you know, I think Goldman Sachs, the sort of actions that they took throughout the 2000s along with other banks sort of precipitated this massive crisis in 2007, 2008 and bankrupted our economy, and now they're telling regular working people that they have to foot the bill even though they've been made whole dollar for dollar. It's wrong. It's, you know, I think it's illegal. Not even just illegal, it's immoral. So, I mean, that's why I'm out here today protesting.
Can you tell us about the relationship between Goldman Sachs here and Goldman Sachs on the West Coast?
Sure. Goldman Sachs is the owner of SSA, which is a shipping and port terminal operations for ports on the West Coast where millions and billions of dollars come in every day in terms of goods from overseas, I think particularly China and other parts of Asia. And so Goldman Sachs is the owner of SSA, and you know, when the West Coast occupations called out to shut down the port is to send a message to the 1% and folks like Goldman Sachs, folks here thought it made sense to target Goldman Sachs since they own so much of what goes on at the ports on the West Coast.
And what's the labor situation at SSA?
Their truckers are non-union, or they've been busting the unions, and they're trying to, I mean, they use like the independent contractor sort of fiction to to prevent their workers from organizing. And there have been long-standing efforts, I know, on the West Coast, like community labor and environmental coalitions, to organize port workers and also reduce emissions from trucks that pollute in nearby communities like West Oakland and create huge asthma rates. They're a bad employer who doesn't allow their workers to organize.
And you are?
My name is Heath Madame.
Thank you. Well, we are with a member of Occupy Wall Street who seems to be playing a major role here. But why don't you tell us more specifically, why Goldman Sachs?
Well, today is a national and even international day of action against Goldman Sachs, largely because of their role in owning a lot of the ports and docks and trucking companies out in the western United States. And there have been serious labor disputes over the wages, health and safety standards of a lot of these workers in the ports and the truck companies. And so in solidarity with these labor struggles, the ports have been shut down out west, and we're having the solidarity action out east. And the role of Goldman Sachs in the housing crisis, when Paulson gambled on these subprime mortgages, is well documented. Their role in the overall economic crisis is documented. And what we're also trying to say more generally is that we don't think that we can rely on our politicians to be objective in regulating institutions like Goldman Sachs if they're deriving such a large amount of their campaign contributions from these corporations and financial institutions. That's sort of the larger message.
And you are?
My name is Mark Bray. I'm a member of the Occupy Wall Street press team.
The whole world is watching. The whole world is watching. The whole world is watching.
So we go from Occupy Wall Street East to
Occupy Wall Street West, and we're joined by Maria Cardenas, Occupy Oakland, and Michael Novick, Occupy LA.
Well, our day was very successful here and very dramatic and very theatrical. Why don't we start with Maria, who right now is at a demonstration. Tell us about what's happening and where you are.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm at the Occupy Oakland protest. We're walking from Oscar Grant Plaza to the Port of Oakland. There's about 2,000 people here. And our plan is also to, like this morning, shut down the evening shift and do the same thing as we did this morning. So basically shut down the port and create picket lines in order for the workers to be able to not cross them and stop the flow of capital.
Maria, why don't you talk about in more in detail about what happened this morning and how you were able to shut down the port?
We met at about 5 in the morning, a group of about 1,400 people. Some of us marched in, some of us bussed in, and we went to three different gates and set up pickets of about 300 to 400 people and successfully were able, without any kind of encounters, just created picket and waited for the arbitrators to come where they said that it had successfully been shut down.
Could you go into that a bit more? I don't think everybody understands that process with the arbitrators.
Okay, so with the ILW, of when a picket is formed, and the arbitrators can say that it's unsafe for the unionized workers to cross, and then they're not allowed to go into work and do their work, which would be unloading the trucks or the cargo ships.
But the ILWU workers did respect the picket line.
Yes, all of the picket lines were respected.
Now, just to catch up back to the success in shutting down three of the terminals in Oakland. Why did you pick this target? What is the significance of shutting down the ports? What's the correlation between that and absolute and undaunted corporate greed?
To begin with, we did it in solidarity with the LA truck drivers who had called for today, which is an important day for the Mexican and large Latin community. It's the birthday of La Virgen de Guadalupe. They called for an action in support of immigrant rights. A lot of the LA workers are immigrants. We called it then in solidarity, and then also in solidarity with the Longview workers and the EGT, against EGT and Goldman and Sachs. The Port of Oakland is a very large port here in the United States, and historically in Oakland has played a very political role. So there's a lot of different angles, but that's the main some of the main issues.
And let's move to L.A. then, where Michael Novick will report on what's going on or went on this morning in the Long Beach port, the SSA terminal. Michael?
Yes, we had a demonstration. I'd say we had about 500 or so people out at 5 in the morning. We rallied in Harry Bridges Park, named for one of the founders there, WU, and then marched up the access road to the SSA terminal where we did conduct a community picket. There was some confusion with the police about where we were supposed to do that, and we spent some time kind of dancing around with them. When we first called this action, I think one of the things we were focusing on in terms of Goldman Sachs and SSA Marine, we said that we were going to be targeting one or more facilities belonging to SSA Marine because of the way they exemplify the rule of the 1% and the way that ruins things for everyone else. The SSA Marine is a major military contractor. They ran the ports in Iraq under the U.S. invasion and occupation. They were recently convicted of building an illegal access road to a site in Bellingham, Washington, where they wanted to put in a giant coal terminal. In Oakland, they had brought in potentially explosive cargo from Vietnam, huge air conditioning units that were loaded with the wrong gas and didn't inform the workers. And down here in Los Angeles, they have a facility called Shippers, which, as was mentioned, treats all the port truck drivers as so-called independent contractors, so they pay no security tax, they pay no workers' comp for those workers who are actually really employees, but because of their status, they're not able to organize into a union. They're told that the port truck drivers would be liable under antitrust regulation. We found that pretty preposterous, and we did call for this action. Also, to draw attention to the ports, we never said we could shut down the ports of L.A. and Long Beach because 80% of all the traffic on the West Coast comes through here. It's 35 miles of waterfront. It can only be shut down by industrial action. The port truck drivers have shut it down twice recently, 2004 and 2006, around workers' rights and migrant rights demands. And more than two decades ago, the ILWU went out on strike and shut it down. But we are saying that the nature of the ports at this point represent the whole distortion of the economy carried out by the 1%. 80% or more of the traffic through the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach are imports because of industrialization, capital flight, globalization of the economy, the super exploitation of workers in China and other countries. What's going on no longer meets the needs of people anywhere in the world, just to line the pockets of the 1%. So we were trying to draw attention to that whole issue and to say that we want to rebuild the economy based on, production for human need and reciprocity, fair trade, and then there would be good jobs for people in all countries, including this one, manufacturing things and trading reciprocally and fairly.
Michael, when you said you danced around with the police, was there any instances of police brutality?
Well, they came out with a lot of force. I wouldn't say there was brutality. They picked out two people to arrest. One, Kwasi Nkrumah, is an elder in the black struggle here. He was part of the Martin Luther King Coalition for Jobs, Justice, and Peace, and one of the lead organizers for Occupy the Hood. And they just arbitrarily, I would say, picked him out as an outspoken black man. And they also picked up one young man from Occupy Riverside. Pretty arbitrarily, they're charged with walking in the street, which is preposterous. And the police, pushed on us several times. We maintained the community picket line for a while at one gate, and then as they pushed at us, we retreated and blocked off a bridge that led to the other entrance. I would say that we stopped the traffic for a while. I think quite a number of port drivers did stay out. The arbitrator was there. He seemed extremely harassed. He was stuck in the middle for a long time, kind of between the police lines and us, and wouldn't talk to us that I could see. I don't think he actually ever declared that it was a danger, and I think probably some of the longshore people eventually did go in. But we felt that we accomplished what we had set out to do in the first place, which was to focus attention on SSA Marine, Goldman Sachs, Wall Street and the waterfront, and the distortions that's created. We did have people out from, rank and file for a number of unions. A lot of teachers were out with us before they went into work. We had some members of the Teamsters and from community groups that had been working on clean and safe ports. And, a wide variety of people besides just the Occupy. This was a joint action of Occupy LA and Occupy Long Beach. Occupy LA was raided, as people probably know, a couple of weeks ago. There was a major eviction with quite a bit of brutality from City Hall. We had called this action before that, anticipating that at some point the occupation would be driven off, and that we wanted to make it clear that we were engaged in a process of alliance building and base building in the community, and that, you know, they could evict an occupation, but they can't evict the idea or the struggle that the Occupy movement represents. And so we think that we did succeed in making it clear that Occupy is here to stay as a movement, and it's building alliances with working people, environmental movements, you know, community people in the whole harbor area. And when we first set the action, we said that we were putting it on a path towards a general strike on May 1st of 2012. I think we built some significant alliances to help bring that a little bit closer. We had people out on a picket line with the ILWU last week. Actually, the clerks here went out on strike briefly on the L.A. side of the harbor, and before it was declared illegal, I guess, by the arbitrator, because for some technicality it affected an off-port union as well, and they said that they couldn't strike on the port for that reason. But we had people from Occupy L.A. and Occupy Long Beach walking the picket lines with the ILWU.
So, Michael, let me be clear on this. First of all, the arrest that you described sounded not only not arbitrary, but very deliberate, very targeted to activist people. But aside from that, you know, we understand that Goldman Sachs owns a large part of the SSA port terminals and is definitely guilty of facilitating the exploitation of non-union and short-run poor truck drivers. Have the workers formed a coalition? Is there a coalescence between Occupy Wall Street and the workers?
We've been meeting with a number of people who've worked with the truck drivers and with some of the truck drivers themselves over several weeks leading up to this action. We've gotten, you know, further calls back from people who want to meet further. There are several different factions, honestly, among the truck drivers. There's one group that is considered employees, and some of them are organizing with the Teamsters Union. We've met with them. There are a lot of others who are considered independent contractors, as we said. Some of them think of themselves as owner-operators. They have professional driver associations, but a number of them are now understanding their situation. It's just a scam to rip them off, so we're hopeful that they'll be meeting with us. There's a group called Port of Aztlan, a network that follows developments on the ports closely. So we're pursuing all of those relationships, as well as with the ILWU and with the community at large. There's a lot of concerns of people there about asthma among youngsters in the area. Wilmington, which is one of the major port cities, in addition to having all the trucks and trains and the ships, it's also full of refineries, and so there's all kinds of stationary as well as transportation sources of emission. So we're trying to work with all those people to say that the Occupy movement is concerned about those things and wants to build alliances and build relationships so that we can move ahead together.
And now we're heading back to Oakland. So, Maria, we've been picking up noise the whole time, and it's delightful. It sounds like it was in New York, where you have marching bands and the ever-infamous drum that seems to annoy the state militarization tremendously. Tell us what's going on right now and about some of the other activities in Oakland of Occupy Wall Street.
We're still marching. We're about halfway to the port. The crowd is growing. It's very lively. We have people from all walks of life. Maybe there's, I'm getting an estimate, about 3,000 people now. A lot of homemade signs with very, you know, different important messages. It's really beautiful. Lots of kids, people on their bikes, older people, younger people. Just a lot of representation of the diversity of the city of Oakland.
By the way, people went crazy at the Goldman Sachs demonstration this morning. When they heard that the terminals were shut down in Oakland, there was just this incredible feeling of solidarity and linkage, and we understand that we really are a national movement.
Yeah, I think that's really what we're looking at. I talked to some people that came from Mexico and from other places, some from Italy, and they're just saying that they finally feel that the U.S. has a movement that's against their government, that's in solidarity with a lot of the nations where the U.S. government has been for decades, where they continue to be, and they finally feel like there is a solidarity movement in the U.S. with them that's a really strong one and a powerful one.
And what are we hearing in the background?
We're hearing some chants. There's a couple of drums. We have a truck with music. Whistle blowing. there's just, people talking. It's really some interesting conversations people are having. There's a contingent from Occupy the Hood also, which is, you know, growing stronger here in Oakland and trying to see how we can link all of the different things here in Oakland. There's a big foreclosure movement here. There's a house that's been occupied recently that's still holding strong. And there's a movement, environmentalist movement. A lot of the children around the port have asthma due to a lot of the emissions from a lot of the trucks. That's a campaign that's been going on for a couple of years. So a lot of these campaigns are also coming together under the umbrella of Occupy Oakland, Occupy the Hood, and we're getting stronger and stronger. And like the other gentleman said, working with the union, working with all the other coalition of workers, so that hopefully May 1st sounds like another really big point for where we can converge and show another big support and a powerful action.
Well, Maria, it sounds like we should start planning for May 1st, May Day here, and maybe bring a real May Day back to this country where it started. So we commend our sisters and brothers. We were there together in solidarity targeting Goldman Sachs. There was a successful closure of three of the terminals in Oakland, but overall
more to come tonight.
And more to come tonight.
I'm hopeful that we have enough. We definitely have enough people to keep doing what we did this morning. The police have been fairly standing off, so I'm hopeful that we're going to repeat the morning and it's going to be another successful shutdown.
I said there was a Gulf Coast action in Houston, Texas, also.
That's fantastic. And, of course, we managed to create quite a problem for the ebb and flow, if you will, the ingress and egress of Goldman Sachs. So it looks like, overall, a successful, spirited day by the 99% who are occupying our country in total against greed and corruption and the inequities of the distribution of wealth. Special thanks to Maria Cardenas from Occupy Oakland and Michael Novak, Occupy LA.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.